morning we continue looking at men and women found in the Bible. This morning we look at two sisters by the name of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, making the right choices. That's the title for this morning's passage. Mary and Martha, making the right choices. Now, all through our lives, we make choices. Some choices are more important than others. Right? For example, the choice of the color of your clothes doesn't really matter. Right? Some people might think your colors are off, not so tasteful. It doesn't really affect you, unlike your choice of friends. If you choose the wrong type of friends to mix with, then you may live to regret it. The choice of wrong friends can affect you quite badly sometimes.
Right.
And too often we make choices which we think are right, which we think are good, but others may disagree. For example, now we have, has he come back already? Our spaceman. Some people call him an astronaut, some say no, he's a cosmonaut. One paper columnist say more accurate, he's a spaceman because he's a man and he's in space. We question the choice of the government sending him into space. Why waste so much money sending one man there when we still can't fix our traffic lights or certain many things that are not going right in our society? Choices we make, some people may think it is right, others may disagree. A father who makes the choice to work hard, which is good. He spends all his time in the office working to earn a good life for his children and his wife. He may think that his choice is right, to be in the office, to work while he still can, to make full use of his opportunities. Family life has to be sacrificed. He thinks the choice is right. But would the wife and the children agree? I don't think the children agree. No amount of money, no amount of things can replace the father's presence in the home, especially when he's needed. And sometimes we believe that we have chosen the right place to stay. You have found a perfect piece of land and you build your house there. But a town planner who knows more, who knows better, he knows that where you have placed your house, it is an empty land now all around you, but one day soon they're going to develop all factories around you. So you have chosen the wrong place to stay. So choices, we make choices and we think some of the choices we make are correct, are good, but oftentimes it can be wrong. And the choices that we make reflect the priorities in our life, the value system that we have in our life. If money is important to you, then the decisions that you make, will be based on this. If I make this decision, will it save me money? If I make this decision, will it make me more money? And so forth. In some societies, pride, nama, the pride is important. The family name is important. Life is not important. You read of some families from Bangladesh, from Pakistan, from even Afghanistan. If the girl in the family runs away and marries a man which is not approved of by the parents, the brothers, they feel it is their right, their choice to go after the sister, to find her and then kill her, to clear the name of their family. That is a ridiculous choice, but to them, they make it because the family name is too important. We can question their choices this way. And this morning, we look at two sisters, Mary and Martha, both followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, both love the Lord Jesus Christ, both serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see their choices of their actions, or what to do based on this one visit of the Lord Jesus Christ to their family. Dalam hidup ini, kita buat banyak pilihan. Kadang-kadang pilihan itu penting dan boleh menjejaskan hidup kita. Kadang-kadang pilihan itu tidak sepenting, itu penting. Pilihan warna baju kita tidak sepenting dengan pilihan teman-teman kita. Warna baju kita tidak akan menjejaskan hidup kita. Tapi kalau kita pilih kawan-kawan yang tidak bagus, masa hadapan kita mungkin terjejas. Dan kadang-kadang kita buat pilihan yang kita percaya bahawa pilihan itu adalah benar dan baik untuk kita. Tapi orang lain tidak setuju. Seorang bapa yang mau hidup yang mewah untuk keluarga dia. Dia bekerja terus di office, tidak pulang ke rumah. Dia mau mendapat banyak wang untuk anak-anak dia. dan isteri dia. Dia percaya bahawa pilihan ini adalah bagus. Tapi kita tanya isteri dan anak-anak dia, mereka percaya tak, mereka setuju tak dengan pilihan bapa dan suami mereka? Tidak kan? Berapa banyak wang yang kita dapat pun tidak boleh mengambil tempat seorang ayah dalam keluarga dia. Hari ini kita lihat dua kakak, Martha dan Mary. Mereka berdua orang ini orang Kristian, mereka sayang kepada Yesus Kristus, mereka mau bersembah dia dan mereka mau bertugas untuk dia, bekerja untuk dia. Tapi dan mereka buat pilihan bagaimana untuk buat baik kepada Yesus Kristus. Now we see, we want to look at based on this passage, look at these three things. First of all, we would like to look at the sisters. Now, Martha and Mary are both Christians, they are both safe, but they are quite different in character. And this affects their, secondly, it affects their choices. Now, what choices did they make regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? And thirdly, we'd like to look at the lessons that we have to learn from the choices that they have made. First of all, we look at the sisters. Now, Martha and Mary are the sisters of Lazarus. Now, boys and girls, remember the lesson in your Sunday school. Lazarus was the man who was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what happened to him? He fell sick and he died. And he was in a tomb, in a grave, for at least 3 days before the Lord Jesus Christ came and opened the tomb and called him out. They raised him back to life. So this is the family of Martha, Mary and Lazarus. All of them loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved them. In John chapter 11 verse 5, it says here, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It's a wonderful thing to be loved by your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ enjoyed staying in their home. This particular passage in Luke chapter 10 is only one of many occasions that the Lord Jesus Christ visited this family in their home. And he enjoyed going there. He felt at home. He felt welcome in their home. At this point, we must ask ourselves this question. If the Lord Jesus Christ were on this earth now, in our midst, and if he came to our home, would he find himself welcome there? If he came to our home, would he find his name honored? Would he find his word taught in that family? Would he hear prayers being said in his name? Would he find first place in our life for him, in our family? Or will he find us glued to the TV, watching out for the latest TV serial, whether it's Korean, Taiwanese or whatever? Would he find us busy chasing our hobbies, our careers, our worldly dreams, while the Bible lies collecting dust until the Sunday comes for us to pick it up and go to church? Will he find his word neglected? Will he find prayers unsaid? Will he find him neglected at all? So this one, we must ask ourselves this. Would the Lord Jesus Christ find a welcome in our home? And one important thing we must note now is that at this time, during this time when the Lord Jesus Christ went into Martha's home, the Lord Jesus Christ was beginning to collect a lot of enemies. He had begun to teach far and wide in Israel. Many religious leaders at first welcomed him. They heard him, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. But then when they heard more and more of his teaching, when they realized that he was condemning them, many of these religious teachers turned against the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they became his enemies. And they were those who were seeking to kill him. And they were watching out for those who were Christ, the friend of Christ. They were watching out for those people who were following him, listening to him, and they were watching out for those who opened their home to welcome Christ in. And it was not a good time to be Christ's friend at this time. It was a dangerous time actually. But Martha did not care. Martha was a brave woman. She loved her Lord, and she welcomed him into her house in verse 38. She welcomed him into her home. And she did not welcome him alone. Because you must understand, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone preaching. He wasn't alone. Earlier, much earlier, in this same chapter, verse chapter 10, he had sent 70 of his disciples out two by two. to preach, and they came back and they witnessed to the Lord Jesus Christ of the wonderful things that they had seen when they preached in His name. And then He had with Him His 12 apostles. So there were something like 80 people, but we do not know how many of them followed the Lord Jesus Christ into Martha's home, but it certainly wasn't Him alone. You can guess at least 12, the apostles were there, and then some of the disciples. So there will be 20 people, 30 people who came with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a big group. No? Many of us here, we see 20, 30, 40 people come to our house, the lady of the house might go crazy, trying to find the space for these people, enough food and so forth. But Martha, she welcomed them. She was not afraid to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ into her home, and she was not afraid of this big group. She welcomed them, and she did her best to make them feel at home. She was a woman of action. You see here in this passage, right? She wasn't happy with her sister Mary. She spoke out against her own sister. She was a woman of action. She was an outspoken woman. And when her brother died, when her brother Lazarus died, she actually went to the Lord Jesus Christ and told Him, that if you had come earlier, my brother would not have died. She ran out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas Mary sat at home, weeping for her brother. Kita lihat dua kakak ini, Mary, Martha dan Mary. Mereka dua-dua orang Kristian, tapi tabiat mereka, kelakuan mereka berlainan. Martha ini dia orang yang aktif, yang suka bekerja, dan dia tidak takut memberi pikiran, meluangkan perasaan hati dia. Dia seorang yang berani. Pada masa ini Yesus Kristus sudah mengajar meluas di Galilee dan di Israel. Dan dia sudah mengumpul ramai musuh. Ramai musuh orang Israel yang tidak percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, yang benci dia, dan mereka ingin membunuh Yesus Kristus. Dan musuh-musuh Yesus Kristus ini, mereka lihat siapa yang berkawan dengan Yesus Kristus. Dan Martha tidak takut. Dia tidak takut musuh-musuh Yesus Kristus ini. Bila Yesus Kristus ingin datang ke rumah dia, dia menjemput Yesus Kristus datang dengan tangan terbuka. Dia tidak takut. Dan dia tidak takut. Dia seorang yang aktif. Yesus Kristus tidak datang seorangan saja. Dia bawa teman-teman dia, rasul-rasul dia. Ramai orang yang datang ke rumah Martha. Tapi Martha dia aktif. Dia cepat-cepat cari makanan yang cukup untuk mereka. Dia cepat-cepat buat apa yang dia perlu untuk melayankan Yesus Kristus dan teman-teman dia. Martha ini orang yang aktif, yang tidak takut, yang berani. Mary is quite different. We see here she's less active physically, more thoughtful, more emotional. The Gospels remember her as the woman who prepared the Lord Jesus Christ's body for His burial. In John chapter 11 verse 2, it says, "It was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair." There was one occasion, the Pharisee Simon welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ into his home for a meal. And Jesus welcomed him, just asked him to come to the house, but this Pharisee did not prepare water to wash the Lord's feet, did not give oil for him to rub and to fashion himself. He just asked him to come and eat. That shows that Simon did not have full respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was eating and discussing, Mary came from behind. She brought a bottle of precious, expensive perfume, broke it, and she poured it on the Lord's hair. And she knew that his feet was dirty, and so she cried out of thankfulness for the Lord and used her tears to clean the Lord's feet. So the Bible remembers Mary this way, that she was an emotional, thoughtful person who loved the Lord. Unlike Martha, who is active, outspoken. Both were Christians, both loved the Lord Jesus Christ, both were His willing servants. Actually, their minds and their hearts will focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But the resulting service to Him is so different. Their choice of action reflected their priorities and what was foremost in their minds. At this point, we must see that within the Christian family, there will be differences. It doesn't mean that the moment you become a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ wipes your mind clean and your heart clean, and then He starts writing, you know, and then you behave like a robot. No, we don't behave all the same. We are not the same. We are unique, each one of us. And God accepts you as you are. He receives you into His family as you are. With your strengths, with your failures, with your indelible sins. He accepts you as you are into His family. And so we are to accept our fellow Christians similarly. We cannot expect everybody to feel the same as we do, have the same taste as we do, have the same interests as we do. No, not even in twins, right? Twins look alike, but they can behave so differently. What more, fellow Christians who come from different backgrounds, who have different experiences with Christ, who have different levels of knowledge about the Word of God. And we thank God that God allows for these differences in the church. It makes us more richer, more able to serve Him as a church, not as individuals only, but as a church. We are not a faith where the moment you come, you believe, you must change your name. You must change your hairstyle, you must wear a certain uniform and so forth, you must say the same language. No. It's the beauty of our life as Christians. We are different, and God accepts us as that. And we should accept one another as that. And pray for one another. If indeed there are shortcomings amongst us, we must pray for each other so that everybody will change and strengthen and become strong. And together as a church, we will grow and serve God more and more effectively. Kita lihat Mary. Dia sangat lain tabiat dia, sikap dia dari Martha. Dia seorang yang emosi, yang suka berfikir. Dia tidak aktif seaktif Martha. Kita lihat bahawa Injil mengingatkan kita bahawa Mary lah yang menyediakan tubuh Yesus Kristus untuk perkebumian dia. Mary lah yang membawa air wangi untuk dibilas kepada alas kepada kepala Yesus Kristus, dan dia menggunakan air mata dia untuk membersihkan kaki Yesus Kristus dengan rambut dia. Dia sangat sayang kepada Yesus Kristus. Dia sangat dia seorang yang emosi. Sangat lain dengan dari Martha. Martha tu aktif, cepat cakap. Tapi dua orang ni orang Kristian. Mary dan Martha sayang kepada Yesus Kristus. Mary dan Martha ingin bertugas untuk Yesus Kristus. Kita lihat dalam gereja. Dalam gereja tu orang Kristian bukan semua fikiran yang sama. Kita bukan robot. Jadi Kristian saja kita semua berkelakuan yang sama. Nama pun mesti tukar menjadi sama. Tidak. Tuhan menerima kita bagaimana kita dalam kondisi yang kita ada. Dengan kekuatan kita, dengan kelemahan kita, dengan dosa-dosa kita. Dia menerima kita. Dan kita sebagai seorang Kristian mesti sanggup menerima orang lain. Kita jangan terlalu cepat mau marah atau mau kritik orang lain. Kita mesti lihat. Tuhan menerima kita. Kita juga mesti seharusnya menerima orang lain sebagai orang Kristian juga. So secondly, we see the sisters, they're so different. Both are worshippers of the Lord who love the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're so different in their choices of action. So now we look at their choices. Both Martha and Mary welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ into their home. Both honored Him. Both wanted to serve Him and please Him. And we notice that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into their home, He did not waste time. You can imagine He came, He cleaned Himself, he had a meal, He had a drink, and what did He do? In verse 39, it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." So the Lord Jesus Christ did not waste time enjoying Himself, relaxing after a long walk, enjoying the wine and the food. The moment He had His fill, He was ready, what did He do? He taught the word of God. He did not perform a miracle. He did not give a performance or a song to entertain us. No. He taught the word. That is the chief name chief task, the main task that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. To teach us about God. To teach us about our sins. To teach us, to point us the way back to God. Not to entertain us with songs and dancing. Not to make our life easier by healing us and giving us wealth and so forth. He came to teach. He came to give us the word of God. And as he taught, unfortunately, Martha was too concerned with the physical aspect of serving the Lord. In verse 40 he says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. No. Martha is a good hostess. She wanted everything to be done properly. Perfect for her Lord. Good. No? She wanted there to be enough water to wash the feet, enough wine to refresh the visitors, enough bread, enough whatever, enough food and so forth. So you can imagine this poor Martha rushing in and out of the kitchen. Dum, dum. Huh? Watching out so that nobody has an empty glass, nobody has an empty plate. Maybe once in a while when she's carrying the empty dishes, you stop and listen to the Lord as he speaks. And then she rushes off again. She has no time to hear the Lord fully. The Lord's precious words may have been lost to her. In and out, serving. It's good. It's commendable. But she was sacrificing the better part of listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nah, jalan yang kedua kita mau lihat pilihan kedua adik-beradik ini. No? Martha dan Mary menjemput Yesus Kristus masuk ke rumah mereka. Dan apa Yesus buat selepas dia masuk ke rumah itu? Dia sudah makan, dia sudah minum. Selepas itu apa dia buat? Dia langsung mengajar. Dia langsung mengajar orang-orang dalam rumah Martha dan Mary. Yesus Kristus datang ke dunia ini bukan untuk melepak, menghiburkan kita. Tidak. Yesus Kristus datang ke dunia ini untuk mengajar kita mengenai Tuhan, mengenai dosa-dosa kita, mengenai jalan pulang ke Bapa kita di syurga. Itu yang dia buat. Tetapi Martha, dia terlalu sibuk. Dia begitu ramai orang pelawat. Dia mau menyediakan banyak makanan, banyak minuman. Dia mau memastikan bahawa semua itu sudah tersedia dan semua cukup untuk teman-teman dia. Dan walaupun Yesus Kristus sedang mengajar, Martha dia sibuk. Masuk dapur, keluar dapur. Buat ini, buat itu. Mungkin sekali-sekala dia berhenti untuk mendengar cakap-cakap Yesus Kristus. Dengar sekejap saja, sudah cabut lari masuk ke dapur untuk buat kerja. Kesian Martha itu. Dia langsung tidak menghargai kata-kata Yesus Kristus. Mary appears to be the lazier of the two, isn't it? By a worldly standard we see Martha active, doing this and that, doing good, serving her Lord, serving her guests. What is Mary doing? She's sitting there, doing nothing. The world will condemn her as the lazier of the two. But Mary wasn't lazy. She was a good Christian, and we can be quite sure. The Bible did not say, but we can be quite sure that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the home, Mary was actively helping Martha to serve, to make sure that everything was ready. The food was there, the drinks were there, the water was there to wash the feet. There was enough cushions for everybody to sit on. She with Martha would have made sure that the preparations were done. Everything would be ready. But the moment the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, the moment the Lord Jesus Christ began to teach, Mary knew her choice. The food, the dirty plates, all this are no longer important. She had already served the physical food and drinks to her guests, to her Lord. Now, she wanted to feed on the spiritual food that was provided to her by her Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Mary stopped everything. All these things are no longer important. She has already done what she needed to do. Now as the Lord gives her the word, she rushes to the front and she sits at his feet, as close as possible to him. Unlike today, you always feel the seats behind first instead of coming to the front. It's as if you are afraid that the pastor will hit you or something. You always sit behind. She rushed to the front to hear, to learn. The mother gets irritated, seeing her sister doing nothing but listening to the Lord. And she complains loudly to the Lord. So when we complain to the Lord, it shows something wrong in our heart. Actually, we have no reason to complain to the Lord. He's given his life to save us. What else do you want from him? You want a smoother way to heaven? Or what? But Martha complains. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And she says, therefore tell her to help me. She's complaining to the Lord as he teaches. Poor Martha, she's so overcome by all this activity of having to serve people. She's angry. She's worked up. She tells the Lord Jesus Christ, tell my sister to come and help me. You can't really blame her actually, right? She thinks that she's doing well, serving. And she sees the sister doing nothing. How can, not fair. So she complains. The Lord Jesus Christ gently tells her that Mary had made the right choice. In verses 41 and 42, he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Kita lihat pilihan dua adik-beradik ini. Martha, dia buat pilihan untuk bertugas secara aktif untuk Yesus Kristus. Dia bimbang mengenai makanan, mengenai minuman, mengenai cukup tak? Sama ada cukup lah makanan dan minuman untuk teman-teman dia, untuk Yesus Kristus. Dia sibuk, masuk keluar. Mary agaknya pada Mary kita nampak agak malas. Dia hanya duduk saja di depan Yesus Kristus untuk dengar cakap-cakap Yesus Kristus. Tapi Mary itu tidak malas. Kita percaya bahawa apabila Yesus Kristus masuk ke rumah Mary dan Martha, Mary ada membantu Martha untuk menghidangkan makanan dan minuman untuk Yesus Kristus dan teman-teman dia. Dia aktif untuk membuat kerja-kerja ini. Tapi sebaik saja Yesus Kristus mula mengajar, sebaik saja Yesus Kristus membuka mulut dia untuk mengajar mengenai Tuhan, fokus Mary sudah tukar. Sekarang makanan, minuman, apa ini semua tidak penting lagi. Yang penting untuk dia adalah kata-kata Yesus Kristus. Mary langsung lari ke depan untuk berduduk di depan Yesus Kristus supaya dia boleh berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus dan dengar cakap-cakap dia. Martha marah. Dia komplain kepada Yesus Kristus. Dia minta Yesus untuk mengarahkan Mary untuk membantu dia. Tapi Yesus Kristus kata kepada Martha, Mary sudah membuat pilihan yang bagus dan berkat itu tidak akan diambil dari dia. The Lord Jesus Christ says she has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. The Lord appreciated all that Mary had done for him physically. But he approved of more of what Mary is doing now. The Lord said that choosing to sit at his feet was a right and good thing to do, and Mary will be blessed for it. We ask ourselves, what is this good part? What's so good about sitting at the Lord's feet? You hear mothers complain, my sister has left me. What did Mary leave Martha for? Martha was busy serving, physically. Mary left that service to be where? She left Martha to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. She wanted to be near enough with the Lord Jesus Christ to see Him and to hear Him. Mary left her sister and her service to be with the Lord. We can serve the Lord actively in the church and all this, and be never near the Lord. And this service can be taken away from us. One day our health may break down, or our career takes us far away from the church and we cannot do anything at all. But when you are near the Lord, nothing can take us away from the Lord. One day, we do not know, you have to leave this church and go somewhere where there are no churches. You are serving God actively here, but you have never given your time to the Lord in meditation or reading His Word. You do not know Him as you, no, really well. You are serving in it. And then one day you go to a town where there are no churches and you are on your own. You are in danger, because you are not close to the Lord. You were never close to Him. But Mary, she's close to the Lord, and the Lord says this will not be taken away from her. Her relationship, her closeness to the Lord will never be broken. And some of us can say, that Mary is passive. What's so good and great about just sitting there and listening to the Lord? Whereas Martha is so active, doing good, making sure the Lord is fed, making sure the people are comfortable and so forth. Mary is just sitting there, wasting her time. No. In the Lord's eyes, Mary is giving Him greater honor. Mary is serving Him far more than, better than Mary, than Martha. She is giving the Lord His honor by sitting still, by listening, by learning from Him. Teachers, those of us who are teachers, when you prepare your lessons and you go into the class, if the students are all sitting quietly and eyes are all on you and they lock their heads when you are teaching them, the teacher will feel gratified, right? I have not wasted my time preparing the lessons and teaching these children. Unlike if the teacher goes into the class and the students are busy throwing their aeroplanes here and there, chit-chatting, and half the time the teacher has to waste her voice and her time and her effort calling, shut up and listen, shut up and listen. Maybe that's why so many of our teachers are stressed out. Our children are not obedient in class. They're fooling around. They're not appreciating the teacher's efforts. Now, boys and girls, beware of what you're doing in class. Pity your teachers sometimes. Similarly, our pastor, he labors every week to study the Word of God, to understand it, and to prepare a message we can benefit from, that we will be blessed. But if we come to church and we face our pastor and we are half asleep because previous night we were watching a late movie or a football game that we could not miss, we are half asleep, we are distracted by our handphone, we are distracted by our children who are naughty and uncontrollable, how do you think our pastor would feel? Would he feel honored? Would he feel glad? No. The greatest honor, the greatest respect, the greatest service, the greatest service that we can give our Lord is by keeping still, by listening, by learning from Him, by giving our attention, by giving our hearts, by giving our minds, and by giving our life to Him. That is the greatest honor, and that is the greatest service that we can give our Lord. That's why, without any apologies, our church, in our worship service, centers around the Word of God. We sing hymns to praise our God, yes. Unfortunately, we do not have soloists who come and display their talents. We do not have people who come and play the guitar for us and so forth. No entertainment. It is all centers around the Word of God. Because we believe His Word is most important to us. So kita lihat bahawa Mary membuat pilihan untuk berduduk diam-diam di kaki Yesus Kristus. Mata marah. Tapi Yesus Kristus kata bahawa Mary sudah membuat pilihan yang benar, yang bagus. Dan berkat kepada dia tidak akan diambil dari dia. Mata mengomel, komplain. Dia kata, kata saya, adik saya sudah meninggalkan saya. Maksudnya itulah Mary meninggalkan Mata. Yang bertugas dalam bahan benda-benda duniawi. Dia meninggalkan semua ini untuk berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus. Untuk mendengar dan membelajar apa yang Yesus Kristus ingin memberikan kepada dia. Kita menghormati Tuhan kita. Kita bertugas untuk Tuhan kita. Kita menyembah Tuhan kita. Cara yang terbaik itu Allah. Bila kita menduduk diam-diam, mendengar dan membelajar dari Injil dia. Itu sebab dalam penyembahan, dalam penyembahan gereja kita, kita tidak banyak nyanyi. Banyak masa kita gunakan untuk mendengar khutbah dari Injil. Itulah cara yang kita boleh menghormati Tuhan kita. Can you see the choices? The choices of the two sisters. One was to serve actively in the worldly sense. The other one is to serve the Lord. Her choice was to sit by the Lord's feet and to listen to His word. Thirdly, we come to the lessons. There are only two. First lesson that we learn is, it is the better choice to sit at the Lord's feet. The Lord's reply to Martha was this: Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Young man, you are worried about your hair, right? Your hair is black and full, but you want it the shape you want. The in thing now, I don't know what it is now. You have different colors, you have different shades, you have different shapes. You worry about your gel. What type of gel to use? Some gels smell funny, so you keep it aside. Other gels melt in the sun, so you better stay away from those. You've seen people who walk in the sun and they're sweating. Suddenly you see the gels coming down their sideburns. Wrinkly side. So you worry about the gel you use. What type? How long can this hold your hairstyle? Some can hold for 24 hours until you wash it off. Others hold for 6 hours and then you droop. You don't use those. Some gel you must apply when your hair is wet. Others you must apply when it's dry. And so forth. You can worry and worry about all these things. But I tell you one thing. Your hair one day will grow white. And one day it may fall off. So you don't have to worry anymore. But the Lord Jesus says, one thing is more important than your hair. My dear fathers, you work hard for your family. You want the best for your family. Right? You worry about your career. You worry about where your career is taking you. You worry about your EPF or your shares and so forth. God is pleased. God is pleased. There are too many fathers today who are not bothered about their families. They are more worried about their goals. They are more keen to be with their friends in the office or in their pubs, in the nightclubs and so forth. That's why we have so many broken families today. God is pleased when you work hard, when you sacrifice a lot for your families. But careers can fail. Your bank account can dry up. Your shares can take a tumble. The Lord Jesus Christ says, but one thing is more important than all this. My dear mothers, you fret and worry about your children. Are they getting enough sleep? Are they eating the right food? What about their studies? Are they going to the right tuition center? And so you spend half your life ferrying them here and there, to tuition, to ballet, to God knows what else. God is pleased for mothers who care about their children. Because there are too many mothers today who worry about their next mahjong session or their TV serials and so forth, or their careers. God is pleased when you're concerned and worried about your families and your children. But your children will grow up. They will leave home. And you'll have an empty nest one day. The Lord Jesus says, one thing is needed of you. My dear Christian friends, we are burdened with the state of the church. Sometimes you say, our church is so small. This doesn't seem to be growing. There seem to be so many problems even within the church. You look around you and you see the false teachings are growing. More people prefer to go to a false church than to a church where the truth is preached. You see the enemies of the church growing stronger and stronger. You are actively serving the church. You are doing your best for the church. And then you see your brother or sister is doing nothing. Who comes for service and then leaves. And then does nothing else. And you get angry. You complain. Just like Martha and Mary. The Lord Jesus says to you, but one thing is needed. Only one thing. Kita mau lihat pelajaran yang kita boleh dapat dari pilihan Martha dan Mary. Martha dia khawatir. Pikiran dia terganggu dengan apa yang dia perlu buat di rumah dia untuk melayan Yesus Kristus dan teman-teman dia. Dia khawatir. Dan dalam hidup ini kita boleh ambil atau pilih banyak bahan benda-benda yang kita boleh memenuhi pikiran kita. Kita boleh mendapat banyak benda-benda untuk membebankan hati kita. Anak-anak muda, kamu takut mengenai rambut kamu. Yesus Kristus kata, rambut kamu tak penting. Satu saja yang penting. Lelaki, kita bekerja kuat untuk anak-anak kita dan suami dan isteri kita. Kita kejar wang, kita kejar kejayaan kita. Tapi wang itu boleh lesap. Kejayaan kita boleh gagal. Yesus Kristus kata, hanya satu yang penting. Ibu-ibu yang khawatir mengenai masa depan anak-anak mereka. Khawatir apa yang mereka makan. Khawatir mengenai pelajaran mereka. Yesus Kristus kata, hanya satu yang penting untuk kamu. Ramai orang Kristian dalam gereja, mereka khawatir dengan keadaan dalam gereja. Gereja ini terlalu kecil. Tak banyak orang. Musuh-musuh kita lebih kuat, lebih ramai dari kita. Yesus Kristus kata, hanya satu yang kamu perlukan. Hanya satu. But one thing is needed of you. Where can we find the greenest, healthiest tree? Where can we find a tree which is full of fruits, full of green leaves, and it's big and strong? Where can we find it? We can find it near the source of the water. We can find it beside a river. We can find it in the desert, in the oasis, where there is a pool of water for the plant, for the tree to grow. Psalms chapter 1, we read just now. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. When a person is totally dependent upon God, when a person delights to know the Word of God, when that person thinks about the Word constantly, when that person uses the Word of God as his standard for his life, whether it is in his family life, in his church life, and in his work, when the Word of God becomes our guide, then. Then and only then we have found the thing that we most need. Like Mary, she sat at the feet of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, eager to hear Him, eager to learn from Him concerning the direction of life, how to live a life that pleases Him. We must be like Mary. As a lighthouse, you know, a lighthouse by the sea, at night, the lighthouse, the light is turned on, and it shines out into the sea, which is totally dark. And if you are a sailor on the ship, you're not sure which way to go, you find a lighthouse. You find a beam of light. You see the light and you follow it. You follow it. Because that light will show you the way where the water is clean. No rocks, no sandbars to disturb your journey. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, it's like us looking at a lighthouse. His Word guides us through this world. This world has so many distractions, so many things that are not right, and they can drag us away. But when we focus upon the Lord, on the Word of God, all these things disappear. In Ephesians chapter 4 verses 8 to 10, he says, "For you were once darkness." Before you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were living in darkness. "But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." When we do things our way, when we do things based on our own strength, on our own wisdom, on our own ideas of what is good and acceptable, you will not bring the smile of God upon you or upon what you are doing. You can, by your own effort, bring up children based on the ideas of the child specialist today instead of the Bible. You can do that, and you can produce some pretty good children that way. You can pursue your career and your business opportunities at the expense of serving God in church. You can do God's work. You can do work in His name. But depending on your own cleverness, upon own worldly methods and worldly ideas, you can succeed. You can succeed to bring up a child who is an all-rounder, who is a high achiever, who is admired by the people of this world and say, "You are a good parent." You can build up your business until it prospers and you become a millionaire and everybody look up to you as a role model. You can, by your efforts, make and build up a mega church. There are many of them around now. But there will be no real joy. There will be no real satisfaction, because the smile of God is not upon you. We are now trying to create human beings, or robots that look like human beings. Cyborgs, they call it. From the outside it looks real. Inside there's no soul. There's this debate as well, clones. If you clone a person, a whole person, is that a person, real person? Some, we say morally it's not right, because the person has no soul. If it's possible to clone a whole person. So, everything we do, we can sacrifice. We can sacrifice our life, our time, our money, whatever it is. Even in doing God's work, we can sacrifice all these things. But if we sacrifice these things, not in obedience to God's word, not in dependence upon Him, then all our sacrifice, all our efforts is meaningless. God will not accept it. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22, He says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." We can give Him everything that we have. God will not accept. It's not good enough for Him. If we give Him out of this, in a disobedient heart, it's not acceptable to Him. Everything that we want to do for God, we must first listen. We must first learn. When we have heard Him, When we've seen the direction that is pointing, and then we go. Then, and only then, will you have his smile upon you. You may not be successful. Don't make the mistake that you are doing God's will and therefore you will be successful as the world may show it, say it is. No. Obedience and success are two different things. We obey God. We follow what He says, tells us to do. We leave the results to Him. First of all, before we do anything, we must know whether it is in His will or not. So kita lihat, Mary pilih untuk berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus. Kita lihat, pokok yang sehat, pokok yang kuat, dia selalu berdekatan dengan air, sumber air. Tanpa air, pokok itu boleh mati atau terencat pertumbuhan dia. Tapi pokok yang dekat dengan air, dia pasti sehat, dia pasti subur. Banyak buah, banyak daun-daun dan sebagainya. Kita mesti berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus. Sumber kekuatan kita. Kita mesti berdekatan dengan Dia untuk dengar apa yang Dia mahu kita tahu. Kita jangan pandai-pandai lari sendiri. Buat apa yang kita mahu sendiri. Kita boleh berjaya. Dengan usaha kita sendiri, kita boleh berjaya. Tapi kita tidak akan mendapat berkat dari Tuhan. Dia tidak akan senyum ke atas kejayaan kita. Dan kejayaan kita adalah kosong. Tanpa Tuhan, apa yang kita capai dalam dunia ini cuma nol, kosong saja. Hanya bila kita mengusahakan sesuatu dalam nama Yesus Kristus, mengikut arahan Dia, sama ada kita berjaya atau tidak, itu bukan penting. Yang penting kita ikut arahan Tuhan. Kita ikut ajaran Dia. Bila kita sudah ikut, kita pasti akan mengalami kesenyuman Dia, berkat Dia. It is a better choice. It is a better choice to sit at the Lord's feet. And we see, second lesson we want to ask of this is this. Why choose the Lord Jesus Christ above all things? Why? Why is a better choice? Why is He the better choice? Why? Why was Mary so close to the Lord? Why did she want to sit at His feet? He's just a man in here, you say. He's a good teacher. In Luke chapter 7 verse 47, this Pharisee Simon had invited the Lord Jesus Christ to a meal. And Mary came behind him, broke the perfume, oiled his hair, cleaned his feet. And the people condemned her. Why you waste money? What are you doing to this man? The Lord Jesus Christ says here in Luke chapter 7 verse 47, therefore I say to you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Mary experienced firsthand the forgiveness of her sins. Mary experienced reconciliation with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why she loved much. That's why she loved to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why she loved to hear Him. Because He was the source, her source of finding her way back to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are sinful before God. All of us are His enemies. The only way we can be forgiven of our sins is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be forgiven of our sins, we must humble ourselves and sit at His feet. When we humble ourselves and come before Him, we are showing our submission to Him as our Lord and Master. If we don't humble ourselves, we remain the enemies of Christ. Christ will not forgive His enemies. If you don't want Him as your Lord, you cannot have Him as your Savior. All of us have a sinful nature. And that sinful nature controls us. And we have no power, absolutely no power to fight this sinful nature of ours. You can argue and say the man is good intrinsically inside. I beg to differ. Please open the newspapers and read the daily news. Man is not getting better, he is getting worse. We are harming 6-year-old girls. We throw newborn babies out of apartment windows. Man is not getting better, he's getting worse. We cheat and we lie. Be careful when you get a phone call from a Mandarin girl, Mandarin speaking girl. It's a scam from China. Be careful. There are things happening now. Man is not getting better, it's getting worse. And worse. We need Christ's help and his power to destroy Satan's hold on us. Yes, Satan has a hold on us. If you do not belong to Christ, you belong to the devil. And he's controlling you. We need Christ's help to break free of Satan's power. We need Christ's help to overcome the sins in our lives. We need his help to live holy lives which are meaningful and pleasing to our God. The Lord Jesus Christ did not just teach us about the way to heaven. He made the way back to God. He made eternal life available to anyone who would believe in him. He lived the life, the perfect life of obedience that we could not live. Look at the Ten Commandments. None of us can obey any one of them anyway. But he did. We are sinners. We deserve punishment from God. But the Lord Jesus Christ took that punishment upon himself. By living the perfect life, by suffering on the cross for us, he opened the door into heaven where a sinner like you and I can come before God and call him Father. And it is free. All this is free. The Lord does not demand anything from us. In Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1, he says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ is free. You don't have to shave your head. You don't have to donate all your money to the church before you are saved. None of these things. God doesn't want these things from you. All other religions teach us that we must do something to enter into a better place. You must go to this temple, you must do this, any thousand and one things, and it never ends. All religions just point a direction to you. You want to go to heaven? Nah, that way. Do this. You will eventually find your way there. Huh? All the best to you. You do whatever you can to earn enough good points and go into heaven. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that you will enter heaven. You just have to try your best and hope for the best. All other religions, their teachers, are mere men. All their prophets, all their good men, all their teachers, are men like any one of us. None of them have been to heaven. They've never been there, so how do they show us the way there? They don't know the way there. But our Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. He lived in heaven. And he came from heaven to show us the way back to God in heaven. Only he knows the way back. Because he came from there. No other religions has this. Kita lihat, mengapa kita mesti pilih untuk berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus? Kita lihat, Mary ingin berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus. Dia mau dengar kata-kata Yesus Kristus. Kita lihat dalam Lukas bab 7, ayat 47, bahawa Mary itu dibersihkan dari dosa-dosa dia. Dia sudah diampunkan oleh dosa-dosa dia melalui Yesus Kristus. So Mary ini sayang kepada Yesus Kristus. Dia sudah diampunkan dari dosa-dosa dia. Dan dia ingin berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus. Dia ingin duduk di kaki Yesus Kristus untuk dengar kata-kata dia. Kita ini semua orang yang berdosa. Kita semua ini musuh-musuh kepada Tuhan. Kita semua ini perlu ampun dari Tuhan untuk dosa-dosa kita. Dan cara untuk diampunkan oleh Tuhan adalah untuk kita percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. kita mesti melutut di berdepan Yesus Kristus, meminta dia untuk membantu kita. Kita ini sudah orang yang berdosa. Kita ini dikuasai oleh syaitan. Dia yang lebih kuat dari kita. Kita perlu pertolongan kekuatan Yesus Kristus untuk membebaskan kita dari tegangan syaitan itu. Kita perlu kekuatan Yesus Kristus untuk membebaskan kita dari dosa-dosa dalam hidup kita yang masih pegang kepada kita. Yesus Kristus sudah hidup dalam dunia ini mengikut aturan Tuhan dan sempurna. Dia hidup 33 tahun dalam dunia ini tanpa dosa. Dan dia mati salib untuk dosa-dosa kita. Dialah yang kita boleh percayai untuk membantu kita masuk ke syurga. Agama-agama yang lain hanya menunjukkan jalan kepada syurga. Kamu jalan sendiri, mereka hanya tunjuk jalan saja. Agama-agama yang lain, penganut mereka atau nabi mereka adalah orang yang biasa. Orang itu tidak pernah ke syurga. Mana dia boleh tahu jalan balik ke syurga? Tapi Yesus Kristus, penyelamat kita, dia datang dari syurga. Dan dia tahu jalan balik ke syurga. Kerana dia anak Tuhan. Asal dia dari syurga. So dia seharusnya sudah tahu jalan pulang ke syurga. Sitting at his feet, we obtain light from our Lord. Our minds are no longer darkened with silly superstitions and fears of things beyond our control. In John chapter 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We are not controlled by silly fears. Last week, when the ferry sank off Pulau Tioman, how many people were missing? 5 or 6. 3 in a family. What did the family do? They had a ceremony by the seaside. What did they do? They took watermelons and they threw it into the sea. And they believed that if the watermelon sank, it means the people are dead. If the watermelons floated, they were alive. What happened? The watermelons floated. But did they get them back alive? No. They all died. They all dead. The bodies have been recovered, all 5 of them. Silly superstitions. We are controlled by these things. We are controlled by the fears of this world. Without Christ, these are the things that control us. Fears of things that are all beyond our understanding. Fears of our own making. Fears of our own greed. A spiritually blind person will never find his way to heaven. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can open the eyes of a sinner and help him to see the truth and find his way back to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have our eyes open, then we will see the truth. If not, we are blind. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are blind. And to go to heaven, we must be prepared for it. The only way for us to learn about heaven is to learn from the man who has been to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not enjoy listening to the word of God now, you will not enjoy heaven. Because heaven is full of the word of God. If you do not enjoy worshipping God now, by singing hymns to Him, by praying to Him, you will be a very miserable person in heaven. Because heaven is full of the worship of God. If you do not know God now, you will never know God in heaven. You won't be there anyway. So we must prepare ourselves. By sitting constantly at the Lord's feet, we slowly are transformed into His image and made fit for heaven. Well, there's a saying that goes that married couples, the longer they are married, the more they look alike. Sometimes it's true. I look at my parents, I think it's true. They begin to look alike. But more importantly, they begin to behave alike. They are likes and dislikes, become similar. They know one another very well. There seems to be a telepathy between the two of them. Their choices are almost the same. Especially when you rub shoulders for 20, 30, 40 years. Yeah. So the couple becomes one. The same thing happens when we sit at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. We look at Him. We learned from him. Our minds begin to think like him. Our hearts begin to desire the same thing that he desires. And we become like him, and we are transformed slowly and slowly, and we are made fit to be in heaven. We can gain a lot of wealth in this world. We can gain a good reputation in this world. We can have many friends in this world. We can enjoy many things in this world. But without submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, all this is useless. All this is meaningless. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul. Your soul is important. Christ is the right choice for you. When we stick close to him, when we choose to follow him, he will lead us to where he belongs, and that is heaven. When we serve him in accordance to his will, we follow the direction that he points us for us, our service will not be wasted. Our service will bring a smile from the Lord. So kita lihat bahwa orang yang buta itu tidak boleh mencari jalan yang benar. Tanpa kepercayaan kepada Yesus Kristus, orang itu buta. Dia tidak tahu jalan kepada syurga. Kita mesti berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus supaya dia boleh akan menerangi pikiran kita, mendengari kepercayaan kita, dan kita tahu jalan yang benar pulang ke syurga. Bila kita berdekatan dengan Yesus Kristus, kita akan lama-kelamaan menjadi sebagai dia. Kita akan fikir sebagai Yesus Kristus. Apa yang disayangkan oleh Yesus Kristus, kita juga akan sayangi. Kita akan disediakan untuk menyembah Tuhan di syurga. Kalau kita tidak suka menyembah Tuhan di sini dalam gereja, kita tidak akan suka menyembah Tuhan di syurga. Kita mesti menyediakan kita sendiri dalam dunia ini untuk syurga. Cara itu hanyalah melalui Yesus Kristus. Kita mesti berdekatan dengan dia supaya kita boleh disediakan untuk tempat kita di syurga. So in conclusion, if we choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to lead us, then we have chosen the right person to lead us. We will never regret it. As Christians, we must be busy in the Lord's work. We must serve the Lord, because in heaven, it is taught in the Bible, the greater our service, the more valuable our service on this earth, the nearer we are to God in heaven. It's taught in the Bible. But the only way to be sure that what we are doing is pleasing to God, is valued by God, is to sit at his feet and learn from him. Take the warning of Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. What did he say? Many in the last day will say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? And the Lord Jesus said, Go away from me. I do not know you. If we are to serve the Lord, and if our service is to be valued by God, then we must sit at his feet and wait for his direction. Only when we do what he tells us to do, only when we go where he tells us to go, then our service is meaningful to him. Then we will obtain the smile from our Father. Then our life in service to God is not wasted. To my non-Christian listeners, I have this to say. Too often in life, we make the wrong choices and we regret it later. Some of us may have regretted the choice of a wrong career. Some we have regretted the choice of a wrong group of friends. Some we have regretted wrong habits. Habit of smoking is a wrong, bad choice. The habit of listening to loud music is a very bad choice. You'll go deaf one day. And we regret all these wrong choices of ours. But the worst regret you can ever have is to have a wrong idea of what happens to you after you die. Some people think that after I die, I just disappear. Okay, sera, sera, never mind. No? Are you sure that what happens? That when you die, you are gone, no more, nothing to worry about. Some people say, when I die, I'll be reincarnated. I'll have a second chance to correct my mistakes. Are you sure? Are you really sure you have a second chance in this world? If you make the wrong choice concerning your eternal happiness, it is a regret that will not just last for a while. It is a regret that will last forever and ever and ever. If you choose to follow the wrong way, if you choose to believe in the wrong person, you will regret it. Christ is the right choice. He is the Son of God. He came from heaven to save us. God Himself came to live and to die for us. What other religion teaches this? What other God cares for us in this way? All other gods are not bothered about us. They just want us to serve them. Burn incense, burn, buy fruits and all that nonsense to them. But our God came to live and to die for us. He is the right choice. Go to Christ like Mary. Submit yourself to Him. Sit at His feet. You will gain everything. You will gain everything. But you will lose nothing. So go to Christ and sit at His feet. Shall we close by singing hymn 133?